Welcome to the Texas Values Report. This is Jonathan Sines on a glorious Saturday afternoon in the great state of Texas. Hope that you're spending some time with family or whatever it is that you enjoy. And we've got a lot to cover today on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. So much going on in the past couple of weeks on our issues. We talked about Supreme Court cases. We talked about state policy issues. But a lot of discussion this week is going to be about what's going on in Cleveland, Ohio. And you may be wondering, hey, Jonathan, I thought y'all covered state issues. Certainly what happens at the Republican National Convention this week and next week is going to have an impact on the state of Texas. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of Texans that are in Cleveland, Ohio, that are national delegates to the Republican National Convention. Even though Ted Cruz is not officially, if you will, the nominee for president, he is supposed to be making an appearance. It's being reported at the Republican National Convention. And whatever he says on different issues as our U.S. senator certainly is going to have an impact and is going to be covered. But we have a very special guest that's going to give us a lot of insight of what's happening at the Republican National Convention and how it relates to Texas, and really a part in some discussion about the impact that Texans are having at the Republican National Convention. So our guest today is David Barton, who I'm excited to have. David Barton is a national delegate for the Republican National Convention. He's a member of the platform committee, but that's just a real tip of the iceberg. If you know anything about David Barton and the wonderful organization Wall Builders that he is the head of and also the founder of, and all the tremendous things that they do regarding educate people about our founding fathers, about biblical principles, about his leadership in such a pro-family organization. But David also, at one point, was the vice chair of the Republican Party of Texas. And you can go to wallbuilders.com and find out more and read his extensive bio with all the different awards that he's been given about certain things. But he is a Texan through and through. So I'm excited to welcome, for the first time, to the Texas Values Report, David Barton. Hey, David, how's it going?
Hey, great, man. Good to be with you, Jonathan. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for coming on. You and I have been friends for a long time. You have been involved in the fight, if you will, the protection, the preservation of our founding principles and pro-family principles as well for quite a long time. You're involved in some very important work, though, this week. Tell us about what you're doing at the Republican National Convention and why it matters to Texans.
Well, this week at the RNC Convention, we start a week early. The convention, of course, will start this coming Monday. We all gather actually tomorrow. We'll come into Cleveland again, or for me, it'll be again on Sunday. The convention will kick off on Monday and go through Thursday night. But we spent last week working on building the platform for the Republican Party for the nation. It is literally a platform for Republicans, for the country. It is not a platform of any candidate. As a matter of fact, I don't think the name Donald Trump appears anywhere in this platform at all, because it's not what an individual believes. It's what we as Republicans believe. And so it's very important for us to get those principles right and the statements right. I think that is one of the reasons that Republicans, quite frankly, outperform themselves. If you look nationally, 42% of Americans identify as Republicans. Well, that's not the majority for sure, but 54% of the U.S. Senate is Republican, 57% of the U.S. House is Republican, 62% of governors are Republican, and 68% of legislative chambers at the state level are Republican. And how'd you get from 42 to 68? Well, the platform is what does it. It's what you stand for. It's what your principles are. And so we have a very strong platform that, from my perspective as a God-fearing faith guy, Christian guy, Judeo-Christian values are throughout the platform. For family values, it's exceptionally strong. For constitutional stuff, it's really good. There are actually six sections of the Republican platform. I was on the Constitution section. Our other Texas delegate, Diana Denman, was on the National Security section. It's particularly strong. And so what we've done is put together a statement of what we as Republicans believe in a number of areas. And so the platform will be officially adopted this coming week. It's actually finished now, but you get the final, if you will, the rubber stamp vote of what we've done will occur at the platform. But the platform essentially is out. And our pro-life friends and pro-life news has carried it as being the most pro-life platform ever, period.
Well,
I think that's probably true.
That's significant. And, you know, I know your history as a Christian, well, history, your existence, your presence, your leadership as a Christian and evangelical. I want to talk to you in just a minute about, and you're so great with numbers, about evangelical voters and why this election matters and so on. But let's stay on the platform issue for a few more minutes here, because there has been a lot of reporting. There's been reporting that there were folks that had a big push. There was a group that was pro-LGBT, as they're calling themselves, that tried to have an impact and tried to really stir things up and to try to change and cause controversy as far as the platform. And I saw some quotes from Tony Perkins and other folks. Tell us a little bit about some of the efforts that you saw to change the Republican platform on faith, family, and freedom issues, religious liberty issues, marriage, all those things, and actually what resulted, and from what I'm hearing, the overwhelming majority of Republicans on that committee and within the folks there as delegates that have been supportive of the issues of faith, family, and freedom so far.
Well, Jonathan, you know where I am. I'm very much on front of faith, family, and freedom, and somehow I ended up as being one of the leaders of the LGBT movement, according to the news report. So that's kind of wild. What we actually had was a very simple thing that happened at this convention. For those that know what we do, we are loaded up with original historical documents. I've got about 100,000 documents from before 1812, and you know, it's the handwritten letters of Washington and Adams and Jefferson and Madison, all those guys. Well, part of what we also have is a lot of history from after 1812, including the very first Republican platform, 1856, the second Republican platform, 1860, the third Republican platform, 1864, et cetera. Well, you look at the very first Republican platform, it is nine planks. That's it. You look at the second one in 1860, the one that Abraham Lincoln's elected on, it's only 17 planks. It's a one-page piece of paper. You look at the third one, 1864, on one page, it has both the Democrat and the Republican platform side by side so you can compare them. It's only 11 planks long. And so we went in with, I actually had the original document, and Boyd Matheson from Utah and myself said, hey, guys, you know, we got a 36,000-word platform here. Why don't we go back to the 1,200-word platform we had? And so that was our proposal. Make the statement of principles. We don't have to take a stand on every issue that comes before Congress. Let's say, here's our principles. Here's what we believe. That's what people are drawn to us for anyway. If you want something about God or about faith or about family or life, you got to go Republican, given the options on the Democrat platform. And so we said, let's just make it simple. And as it turns out, LGBT loved that idea, because then they claim that you take all the family and all the marriage stuff and everything else out of the platform. And so they put together this thing that they told us, we're putting together a movement to have a motion to use a shorter platform. And great, I signed that, was on it. And they used my name to get a bunch of other signatures. And then it comes out announcing that they've got this list of names to be able to take the marriage stuff out of the platform. No. That's not what we did. We didn't take marriage stuff out. So they tried that. They announced 37 signatures. Once we found out it was, 28 of us pulled off. So at best, they've got, what, nine signatures? So if that's a coup at the Republican convention, if nine people represents a coup, then they pulled one off. And, of course, there's no way. Out of 25 hours that we met together over 3 days, there was probably a total of 15 minutes of proposals from a handful of people to include LGBT language. They all got voted down. I mean, voted down overwhelmingly. So the platform committee, and we are elected from among the 50 states, very firmly, strongly, ardently pro-life, pro-family, pro-traditional marriage, pro-all traditional moral values. But that was not what CNN reported. They had a totally different spin on this thing. So well, it's going to be a quiet convention. It won't have any kind of a coup attempt, despite what CNN says.
That's interesting. I'm talking with David Barton, the founder and leader of Wall Builders, but also a member of the platform committee at the Republican National Convention and a national delegate for the Republican Party from the great state of Texas. And he's talking to us about his experience on the platform committee and at the RNC. And so what I'm seeing reported, too, by some friendly sites, if you will, or non-biased, is that there's strong language in there confirming that marriage is between one man and one woman.
Yep.
There's language in there. You know, and I get your point about the platform being too long, but the current state of affairs, now you've got language in there that says, look, we want privacy and safety in public bathrooms, showing strong support for that. And as you said, pro-life plank, I'm hearing reports with language about defunding Planned Parenthood. And some of that is a sign of the times, right, of where we've gone on some of these issues. And so, and I think a lot of people are wondering, well, what's the platform going to look like? Because they're not so sure about how they feel about who they're going to vote for president, but they take some comfort in, well, if the platform says the things that I believe in, hopefully the candidate, no matter who the candidate is for Republicans, and I mean, I think it's obviously it's going to be Trump unless something different happens, but that's going to give some people some comfort. So you're excited about the platform on the issues of faith, family, and freedom.
Yeah, a couple of points to make on this thing is number one, on traditional values. We had a debate on the bathroom issue, and do you know what the biggest part of the debate was on the bathroom issue? Not whether we're going to take a position about that, but whether we should use the word restroom or bathroom, which is, that's the biggest debate we had on the issue. Everybody is saying, hey, Obama's thing on transgender and open bathrooms and one locker room and one bathroom, and no, we're not, I mean, that would, the issue was, do we use the word bathroom or restroom? That's the only issue we had on it. So it was very, very firmly pro-family all the way through.
Well, and just to stop you for a second, that issue polls even fairly well amongst Democrats. I mean, you're seeing a lot of bipartisan support on that issue. That's good
right.
news. So the life plank is strong, the marriage plank, or whatever you want to call it, those issues, they haven't been disturbed.
Not only have they not been disturbed, we had it in there in a bunch of places. So that, you know, the six sections of the platform, instead of having one on family, we had a powerful section on family in the under the constitutional section, because we talk about founding principles, declaration, et cetera, and family has been the core of that. Then we have another powerful section on family over in the education section, a powerful section on family over in the health section. I mean, we've got man, woman, union, marriage, traditional marriage support. We got it numerous places there. And here's the other thing that's so significant is when you go into a platform, and I've done this a number of times, this is my sixth convention, and I've been on platform that each state sends two delegates to the platform committee. So there's 112 of us, because we have six American territories, some American Samoa, Virgin Islands, Guam, et cetera, Puerto Rico. So there's 112 that write the platform for all the Republicans in the nation. So I've been on this a number of times, and there are several things that you come into it with. The platform can change for three reasons. One, it can change because the composition of the delegates is such that they want to change. And you always, every time, you'll have a few states. I remember back when 20 years ago, we're talking partial birth abortions, and the delegates from Hawaii said, we think it's a good deal. What needs to be in the platform? There's nothing wrong with this. So you have some delegates that come, and this time we had seven or eight delegates that were pro-LGBT and anti-traditional family. Fine, we have that debate. The other thing is you can have outside groups, and in this case, Peter Singer put somewhere between $2 and $6 million outside into trying to change the platform into a less pro-family platform. But the third one is the candidate himself. And the candidate comes in and says, man, this is what I believe, but I don't want reporters saying, well, your platform says this, but you say this. And so what they do is the candidate will put operatives in there, and they will try to stiff arm and make it the platform look like his positions. And I've been in there when they send U.S. senators in to break your arms, they threaten you, and I've watched it go on for years. And what happened this time is Donald Trump says, no, I want a very conservative platform. And he stayed completely out of the way of stopping anything. I mean, they helped things go through. And last time with Romney really changed the Israel language to make it very Israel unfriendly. No longer is Jerusalem the capital. No longer do we want the embassy at Jerusalem. But this time, man, Trump said, no, 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 we want that. And so Trump was extremely helpful on not stopping any of the good stuff from going through and completely letting it happen. And so from that standpoint, this was a great convention because this lines up with what Trump is wanting the platform to say, and I love that.
Well, speaking of Trump, so let's shift to two other issues that we could try to cover at least in some way before we have to let you go. What you think next week will look like with Trump? I guess Cruz is going to have an appearance at some point. I don't know the timeline of things. We're going to know at that point for certain, you know, the VP pick, but also what this means for evangelical voters and what it means when evangelical voters show up and when they don't show up. I know a lot about those numbers. So hit us a little bit with what you think is going to happen with Trump and his show and also why this matters to evangelical voters.
Well, Trump's going to be very let me put it in this perspective. For voters at any point in time to look at the personality of the candidate and say, I can't vote because personality of the candidate, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense biblically because, well, you know, Trump's not a God guy. He's not an evangelical. Right. Neither was Cyrus. And yet Cyrus was God's servant in the Bible that did really good things for Israel. He was the king of Babylon of all places. He's a pagan king. And yet he did great things for Israel. So you have God saying, my servant Nebuchadnezzar. That's another Babylonian pagan king. He's not a Jewish guy. He's not a God guy. No, but they can do really good things. And so what you look at more than anything else is policies. And when you go to the Bible, Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation. All right? So we want policies God can bless. Exactly. Isaiah 1:26 says, the righteousness of a land is based on the judges in that land. And if you look at where we are now, every cultural battle we face came out of the courtroom first, whether it was abortion, whether it was homosexual marriage, whether it was prayer in schools, religious liberty, whether it's conscience protection, came from judges. And so the first thing that a Christian evangelical ought to want to do is say, okay, judges are the most important thing in this election. What do I get for judges? Well, I know what I get from Hillary. I know that Trump, interestingly enough, has come out with his list of 11 judges. And they all look like David Barton picked them. Well, that's because he's got Leonard Leo from the Federalist Society doing his judges.
Is that what they'd say, David? They're like, these are David Barton judges.
this is a constitutional radical religious right judge. But see, what's interesting is Trump has also asked Cruz to help him with his judicial appointments. So if I'm concerned biblically about righteousness, judges are my first thing. Next thing I look at is you have Genesis 12:3 that God says to Abraham, I'm going to make a nation out of you. Whoever blesses you, I'll bless. Whoever curses you, I'll curse. So where are we on Israel? Well, I know where Hillary is on Israel. She's not a friend, and she likes the Palestinians more than the Jews. Trump is saying, hey, we're moving the embassy back to Jerusalem. It's not going to be in Tel Aviv. We're going to have an undivided Jerusalem. Hey, that's good news. He's a friend of Israel. So I don't care whether he's Cyrus or not. If he does the right things that God can bless, I'm all for it. And so for a Christian to say, well, you know, Trump's not my guy, he's not an evangelical, he's not a Christian, I don't care whether he is or not. I care whether he does the God things that God can bless. And when I look at the top things in the Bible, I've got an easy choice in this election for me.
Well, we're talking with David Barton, founder and leader of Wall Builders. Go to wallbuilders.org, right? That's the website, David?
.org, .com/net, wherever you want to go, it'll
yes.
get you there.
Wall Builders. He's also a national delegate to the RNC, the Republican National Convention, which is going on right now. He's a platform committee member. Okay, let's talk for a second. And by the time the show airs, or when you're hearing this, there, I don't know what the media is going to report on where he is on VP. But let's just talk about VP for a minute. Trump is the nominee, and just what some of those, how those dynamics play into elections moving forward.
You know, when you look at VP, there's a couple of things that go on. VPs don't help you, but they can hurt you. McCain needed evangelicals, so he went and chose Sarah Palin. That didn't work out too good for him. And that's because VPs. Now, if you want a VP and you choose Barney Frank from Massachusetts, now that's going to hurt you because people are going to stay home. So unless your VP is somebody that really demoralizes the base, then it pretty much doesn't make a difference. It really doesn't turn out more people. It just keeps you from losing people. And so, you know, with Trump's VP and what we got that, we don't know whether that's going to add any energy to the base or not. But what it does is it does not demoralize them. And well, that's the biggest thing you get out of a VP pick.
And let me ask you this about the evangelical voters for a minute. I've heard you throw out some really big numbers before about, you know, in past elections, how many evangelical voters have stayed
right.
home. What are some of those numbers?
Well, the numbers, I can tell you the numbers for 2012, and grab this. You have Romney, who actually had more evangelicals vote for him than voted for McCain. So in 2012, we had the second highest evangelical turnout we've had in the last 30 years. It was actually very good numbers. The only problem was 38 million evangelicals did not vote in 2012. So, wow, 38 million? Yeah, 38 million did not vote. And so had 5 million more come out of that 38, you have a different outcome in the presidential election. You have different outcomes all over the nation. So we're looking at 38 million last time, and that's with a high turnout, which tells you high turnout is not really high. But 38 million last election that did not vote. It's going to be in the hands of evangelicals, no question this time, whether the nation takes a hard turn left or whether it keeps moving in a different direction.
Well,
I can't say keeps moving because it hasn't been moving in the right direction for several years.
Well,
but whether
yeah.
it keeps turning hard left or comes back in a better direction.
And there are so many races down the ballot, too, that matter, and so there is a responsibility there that I think oftentimes people are thinking. I mean, if you got 38 million people saying, oh, what does one vote matter? I mean, it's just so frustrating sometimes, as you know, I'm sure, where you hear people say that their vote doesn't matter. And you see elections like ones we were involved in where you've seen by less than 50 votes, they're decided.
That's right.
Well, David, this discussion has been extremely helpful. I think a lot of people aren't as familiar with how the Republican convention and national conventions run. There's a lot more attention. A lot of people from Texas are up there these couple of weeks. I'm sure you're running into folks. Our good friend and our board member, Kelly Shackelford, is up there. And so thank you for your time. David Barton, the head of Wall Builders, has been our guest today. He's also a national delegate for the RNC and a platform committee member. David, thanks for being a guest on the Texas Values Report.
Hey, Jonathan, thanks. And we appreciate what you do. Thanks for all the good things you do through Texas Values and for all of us, brother. Appreciate you.
Amen. Good stuff. Well, that was great to have David on. You know, he is right in the middle of what's happening in Cleveland, Ohio, where the Republican National Convention is there, and so many other Texans. And look, he's been involved in Republican politics for quite a long time, so he's seen a lot to give us a good snapshot of his impression of things currently as it relates to other things. We're about to wrap up the show, but, you know, some things happened this week, too, that if you go to our website, txvalues.org, you'll get those updates. If you go to our Facebook page, go to Texas Values, you'll see what we're doing. Check us out on Twitter, wherever you like to interact. Sign up for our email list. We have emails. We have things that come in the mail. A lot of different ways where we try to connect with you wherever you're most comfortable to educate you about the issues of faith, family, and freedom. A story that's coming out this week, you heard us talk a lot about the bathroom issue in Target. There was a guy in Idaho that the police have now apprehended who was dressing up as a woman to go into women's bathrooms, to the changing room, taking pictures of women who were a particular woman who was undressing. That story has come out. You know, Target stock continues to drop as people have boycotted it. We have supported boycotting Target. We just don't think it's safe to go in that environment, and they have turned a deaf ear. There are now 23 states that have joined our lawsuit here in Texas against the Obama administration on this boys and girls bathrooms policy, this transgender policy that they're pushing onto public schools. That has gained a lot of traction, if you will. There's been some significant votes on Congress that have happened. And so a lot of things happening that you'll want to go to our website, txvalues.org, and get updated about. And we've been involved in supporting that litigation from our attorney general's office because we know how important it is to fight back when the federal government tries to overreach and forces us to allow or tries to force us to allow boys to go into girls' bathrooms to join the girls' soccer teams and volleyball. And I mean, the policy is just over the top. There's no question about that, unfortunately. And so check us out on txvalues.org. And we got a couple of minutes. I was getting my time signal there, if you heard my voice trail off. But if you've not engaged with us through email, through our website, through social media traffic, we are heavily involved. We have probably the largest amount of social media traffic than any other organization like us in the state of Texas. No question. We work very hard not to just sit behind a microphone, but to be out in the public, to be out where the issues are happening, to be setting the stage and to be moving the issue in one direction or the other, to be educating people on what's happening on these issues. I mean, Texas is our state. We want you to be informed. We want to give you the information before it reaches you in a negative way. We want to equip you so you can go do something with the information. That's why we help pass laws. That's why we help draft laws and are involved in court cases that impact these issues, whether we're protecting someone's right, whether we're trying to keep the government from going too far at the local level oftentimes and the federal level, sometimes even the state level, from trying to infringe upon your religious liberty rights. Our organization has a comprehensive approach when it comes to defending the issues of faith, family, and freedom. This radio program is one way that we do it, but it's just one of many ways that we're involved in these issues. And so don't let all these things overwhelm you. There's a lot of good information. I think we're one of the best places to find the most important information on faith, family, and freedom, particularly as it's happening in the state of Texas and as it pertains to Texans. As a fifth-generation Texan myself, and I was looking over this past weekend of whether or not I actually might be sixth generation on one side of the family, and darn it, I realized I wasn't. I think I'm still at fifth, but that's fine. I'm a Texan through and through. Whether you were born in Texas or whether you got here as quick as you could, this is the best place to find information about faith, family, and freedom. This radio show and our website, txvalues.org. Our office is just two blocks from the state capitol. That's how close we try to stay to keep people accountable on these issues. And so come back and hear us again. We're here every Saturday from 12 to 12:30 on the bridge, where you can hear the information about Texas values on faith, family, and freedom.